You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 23. And if you'd keep in mind, God created us, you and me and us. God created us for his honor and glory. God did so before anything. His plan, his purpose, had us in mind before any angels were created. Now, I need to be mindful of the fact that here we are. Now, God, as humans on planet Earth. And in the process, humans, way back in Genesis flood and all of that, humans left God out. They didn't want to honor God as God. They wanted to the devil's influence that we can be Genesis 3 and verse 5. We can be as gods. That is not true, but that's what was said, that we could know like God does, and that is not possible. Now, so God raised up Abraham and Israel, and Israel was to be a nation to all of the nations. And God was to show all the nations by way of Israel his wonderful plan and purpose for all humans. Israel fails. Israel fails. Now, back to Jeremiah 23. Israel is the 10 tribes in the north, 100 years plus earlier, have gone into captivity under the power. And the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, in Jerusalem, are going to go into the Babylonian captivity. And so therefore, but in the process, as we have shared Jeremiah, and all of the years going down, and here we're looking at 597, just after that, Zedekiah has stepped into the power. He's the last king of Jerusalem, last king. And he's going to be now. So keeping that in mind, God, what are you going to say? Well, he's settled things, and they have been mocking Jeremiah. We share together chapter 23 and verse 33. Jeremiah was giving God's word all the time, and they made fun of God and said, "What kind of word is there today, Jeremiah?" And they mocked and made fun of it. Now, and God, as we shared all of that together, and God said, that's enough, and therefore they could not use that little term, burden, oracle, burden, that which is lifted up, God's word is lifted up. You can't use that anymore. And if they did, they'd be in immediate trouble. So they're put to a stop. They aren't going to stop, but they're told to. And so God is leveling the judgment straight out. And when you come to, not only are they mocking God's word, but they are hanging on to the city, Jerusalem. So when you come to verse 30, chapter 23, verse 39, therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you, and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. Now, so here's the Jerusalem. They're counting on Jerusalem. Now, God has a message that he puts in there so that we understand they're looking at the city, they're looking at their, we can do whatever we want, and the city is God's city, and they're safe as can be, which is not true. So God, you're going to give an illustration straightway. Chapter 24, and here's Jeremiah in the temple, standing there, and the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jehoiachin, actually, same, Koinonia, two or three different names, same person, Jehoiada, and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, and the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. So Jeremiah is looking in a vision. God gives it for him to look at, and he's looking at the temple, and then in front of him are two baskets of figs, and remember, figs come three times a year, and the first figs that are in Israel, the first figs are at the end of June. They are the most delicious figs, because you've been looking for figs, and they're juicy and all of that. So they're the good figs. There are going to be figs two more times, but the first ones are the choice figs. Now, so keep that in mind. Here he is looking, and Jeremiah is seeing the figs, and God has a message, a very simple, wonderful message to convey and to make clear that Israel isn't listening, but Jeremiah needs to understand it and, to the measure that he can, communicate it. Now, so here we are looking, and here we're looking at 597-598 BC and Zedekiah, and he reigns for 11 years, etc., before Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. Now, having said that little bit, so God is going to go and judge the city, and the city, and the temple, and the nation. The city's going to be no more, the temple's going to be no more, the nation's going to be no more. Going to take it all out, remove the whole thing. Now, but God, you raise them up to be a testimony to all the nations, and to let the nations know thou art a great God. Now, in the process, they fail, but you weren't counting on them. No, because the seed of the woman is going to come from the Abraham of Judah, tribe of Israel, Israel's 12 tribes, the tribe of Judah. So God, what were you counting on? You weren't counting on the nation as such. You weren't counting on Moses or Aaron. No. No, I'm counting on the wonderful thing I'm going to do, because out of the Jewish nation is going to come the Messiah, the Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's going to come. Now, hang on to that, if you would. That's God. You don't miss a trick. And in what you do, and how you do, and when you do, wonderful, wonderful reasons that belong to you alone. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, here's all the kings and he's talking now about the departure. And during the days of, just after, during the days of Jehoiachin, C-H-I-N, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar comes in again, whatever stirred him up, he comes in again. He takes all the good things in the royal palace. He takes all the things in the temple, and he's content and leaves. But he leaves with a remnant of people. He takes another bunch of people. And one of them is Ezekiel. So out they go. So here's, just think if you're sitting in Jerusalem and looking, and Nebuchadnezzar's men pick out the men. They pick out Ezekiel, the princes, leaders, and they go in verse 1, and they go, and they're going to go and pick the carpenters or the craftsmen, the people that had all kinds of ability. They're going to pick the smiths. The word smith is prison lock. Somebody that makes locks for prisons, makes prison locks. A craftsman, someone who does metal work, makes weapons. So what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He takes a whole nother bunch of people, including the military, and he takes a whole bunch of people, and he goes out and takes them back to Babylon, a whole bunch more. Now, the message. Jeremiah, and his all their all gone. Jeremiah's looking at the two baskets of figs, and here's Nebuchadnezzar taking a whole another bunch of the best people, not just bums or people that aren't with it. He takes the best people. Understandably, he wants them to be able to build and add to his kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar does. So in going, taking all of these, taking them there, he leaves. Now, what does he leave in Jerusalem? All the second time. Daniel went the first time, 605. Now we're coming along, and here's all of these people leaving. They're all the people that you need, the carpenters, the plumbers, the bricklayers, the doctors, the lawyers, the Indian chiefs, if you would. They're taking them all. So they're leaving no one there. So what have we got? Now, picking up the message, God, chapter 24, picking up if I can, in verse 2. And the basket, the basket of fruit, was the basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are the first ripe, first branch. And the other basket had very naughty or bad, evil figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. They were rotten figs. So we got two baskets. One's very sweet and wonderful figs, and the other basket's lousy, rotten figs. You have to throw them out. Now, verse 3. Then said the Lord unto me, what sayest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs. I see figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Now, so Jeremiah identifies the baskets properly, and therefore God is going to say, verse 4, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now just note, the whole explanation, the whole outworking is God's. Now, Jeremiah is to understand how it's going to work, which he did know, but he didn't know. God keeps adding information. And so when you come to chapter 24, verse 5, the first part, and the Lord said, the God of Israel. And verse 4, again, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. So it's saying it. And in verse 3 even, and the Lord said unto me, God is the one communicating and helping understand. It's all God's wonderful doing. So Jeremiah has to just get educated afresh of what God is doing in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and looking at all those figs, the bad figs and the good figs. Now, and so, over if you would, just to pick up the bad figs. Here's Ezekiel going to be over there, shipped out, and he goes over there to Babylon and begins his own ministry to the remnant of Jews that are there. And so when you go to chapter 22 of Ezekiel, we're going to have an explanation of the bad figs. So we want to get the bad figs. And in the process, Ezekiel and chapter 22. And you'll notice, just picking up enough of it to get the flavor of it, chapter 22 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all, and thou shalt show her all her abominations. So Jerusalem is a horrible place. And you know from other places in Ezekiel and that, they had made the temple a very bad place. And they put all kinds of things in the temple, pictures in the temple, bad pictures, bad things. It was a bad place, God's temple. They had made it a bad place. Therefore, as you keep reading, sliding over to verse 18. Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. In other words, there's no good thing I want in this. And it's like the bad stuff that comes up when you melt silver. Verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you out of the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire, in my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. Now, et cetera, et cetera. It isn't going to come out good. So when you come down, to what measure? Now, what measure? Now, the people in Jerusalem, so you keep in mind, here's the people in Jerusalem. Now, their problem is that they are really, really sort of patting themselves on the shoulder, as it were, and saying, wow, you know, Nebuchadnezzar took Ezekiel and all of these people, but he didn't take us. We're still here. Aren't we fortunate? God, Nebuchadnezzar took them, and we're here. We're the good guys. See, we're hanging in there. And so we're just there. It's just us. And we're going to sit there and get all good, feeling good, even though everything's the same, going downhill. And you lost all those good people, but you aren't paying attention to that. No, we're still here. We're still here. Now, having said that, and if you, without jumping into that ahead, just think of the tribulation. All of the things are going to happen, tribulation. And you would think, as you proceed along in those 7 years, you would think that the people would see that God had taken the land and area and all kinds of places, and geographically and humanly, population. You would think the people that were left would really want to get with it and see it. No, they were left. And a great majority of them were very proud that they had survived all of this, and therefore they're the better for it. So here's Jerusalem, and here's the bunch of people that are left, and they're all jumping, yay, we are still here, we have survived, and we will succeed. Now, so here's Ezekiel and the people again that are like that. Verse 25. There is a conspiracy of the prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, etc. Now, just looking, you remember now, here's the prophets. They're going to go to the priest. Remember, chapter 23 is about the prophets and priests. So here we are looking in Ezekiel 22, I should say. And here, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things, and have put no difference between the holy and profane or common, etc. Verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening in the prey to shed blood, etc. Verse 28. Her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar. Verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, etc., and exercised robbery, etc. Now, in the process of that's a whole bunch of everybody that's left. And God said, you know, I wish I could find a man, verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And remember Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, if I could just find one righteous man. Now that doesn't mean, again, that Jeremiah, etc., was not righteous. But Israel had what? They had excluded. They did not want to include Jeremiah as one of them. Jeremiah did not think like they did. did not believe like they did, and therefore Jeremiah was not to be counted among them. And therefore God said, you eliminate the righteous one, and you're left with none. If I could just find one. But there isn't any. There isn't any. Wow. There's none of you. You are all naughty figs. Evil, bad figs. And I'm going to throw you all out. I'm going to get rid of you all. Chapter 11. Here's the good ones. Ezekiel chapter 11. And in chapter 11, if I can, in verse 15. Well, verse 14 anyway. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 11 and 14, Ezekiel. Verse 15. Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem, what are the inhabitants of Jerusalem saying? Get you far from the Lord unto us. Get you far from the Lord. Get out of here. For unto us is this land given in possession. We have it. You guys all go into captivity. So what if he takes you all? We don't care. It's our land. We're here. It's our place, etc., etc. That's what it is. That's what it's saying. Now, verse 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them off among the heathen, although I've scattered them, hang on to that, Nebuchadnezzar's taken them captive, and though I have taken them, I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they come, shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. I want to bring you all back. I want to do a wonderful thing. Now hang on to that. So here's the bad guys sitting there claiming, because they're still there, that they're the good guys and it's all going to come out good. And God says, no, not that way. Nope. Over to Jeremiah chapter 24, excuse me. And in Jeremiah chapter 24, what do we know? Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. I'm letting them all, Ezekiel and all these guys that you see Nebuchadnezzar taking out of the city, are safe. You that are staying in that city are in looking for disaster. I'm taking them out. You think you're going to be, because you're in, it's good. No, it isn't, because I've condemned this city. Chapter 23. I've condemned this city, and you think it's good. No. I want you to know I'm bringing them out, and what I'm doing for them is good. You're taking them out of the city. Uh-huh, I am. I'm doing that. Now, God, and verse 6, and I will set mine eyes upon them for good, that I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will, verse 7, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. God said, listen, what I'm doing is wonderful. Now, God, what are you doing? Well, before you ever created anybody, what did you do? God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God, you determined to die on the cross as a human that wasn't even existent. You would die on the cross, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And you determined that. Did you die for just the Jews? No. Did you die for all human beings? Yes. Otherwise, they couldn't be created. If I didn't die for you, you wouldn't be sitting here. The reason you sit here is because I died for you. And I made it possible for you to be born. Now, so God, we aren't looking at just the Jews? No, no. Well, God, help us. So here's the nation going to captivity, scattered, no more city, no more temple, no more nation. God, in your wonderful mercy. Aha. Yes, my wonderful mercy. Now, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go for their good. Why are you doing it? For the good. I want to make it all come out good. And in the light of time, would you go over with me? And before I do that, let me just read it quickly. Chapter 24, verse 8. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, that are so evil, surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue, the people that remain of Jerusalem, that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, because some were trying to escape down there. Verse 9. And I will deliver them to be removed into the kingdoms of the earth, for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all places, whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I give unto them and to their fathers. I'm going to what? Take the Jews, my people. And without turning there, we don't have time. Without turning there, I'm going to take my people and scatter them. Captivity. No more nation. No more nation. No more nation. No, no nation. No. But God, you have a wonderful plan. Do I am very merciful God. I have a plan. The Jews were to be a witness to the nation. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. They were to be a people that all the nation would look to Jerusalem and say, those people have an awesome relationship to Almighty God. But you know what? Israel is end up captivity. And in there, instead of being a blessing to the world, they're showing God's curse to the world. And they, God, you're going to do something with them. I am. Anti-Semitism, and we just read it, and we don't have time to do it in Deuteronomy. Do what? You're going to be spoken against. There's going to be no place they can go on planet Earth and find a home. They'll never find a home. I'll never let that happen. I'm going to make sure that they never have it, and they're always going to be looked down upon. They're always going to be despised. They're always going to be maligned, made fun of, Jews, etc., etc., etc. That's what's going to happen. And I'm going to do that. And the world's going to know it. And everyone's going to know it. And Israel's going to know it. Aha! God, what are you doing? I'm doing a wonderful thing. And Israel, that should be a blessing, is a curse. Now, God, here we are in this day and age, looking at Israel over there, as the Lord, as the European Union and all of those things are happening. And we're looking out there, and here's Israel trying to survive, surrounded by the enemies, and the rockets piling in from Gaza and Golan Heights or whatever, and coming in, and they're having to blow up all those rockets coming in, and God is giving them grace. But you know what? The whole world as we would know it generally, not in the middle of the Venezuelan jungle or something, or as Amazon jungle, they don't know maybe, but maybe they do. They have smartphones and everything. Maybe they're pretty smart out there. Now, so having all of that, wow, they're a curse. Are you paying attention to the Jews in the world? Absolutely. Europe, our anti-Semitism, The Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. Ah, you can't forget them, can you? They can't get lost. No, 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 they can't get lost. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, one place we'll do over. If you would, Deuteronomy, do one anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you know it. And Deuteronomy in chapter 28, may I pick up, please, in verse 63. 28:63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land, whether you go to possess it. Now they haven't even crossed the Jordan yet. And God is telling them what's going to happen. God, if they just had listened, and they tried, so God, would you help us not have this happen? Nope, they aren't going to do it. God already knows their heart, and their heart is getting hard and harder, just like Pharaoh's. And they aren't going to change. Nope. Now, so verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. So, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither they nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these, and among those, these nations, shalt thou find no ease, neither shall thy sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and falling of eyes and the sorrow of mind, and the life and thy life shall hang in the balance before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening, and in the evening thou shalt say, would God were it morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. In other words, you're going to have no peace. And that's the whole problem in our own country or anywhere. There's just no way for them to get locked in. It's just, we're Jews. Liberal Jews there are, and all of them trying to be, but they're Jews. Now, God, you did that. I did. Over, if you would, please, to Romans. And in Romans, picking up, please, in chapter 11. Romans 11, in the light of God's wonderful grace. Now, God, here we are looking. And in the process, chapter 11 comes to the end of the section, God helping us understand about the Jewish people being put aside and God coming in and raising up our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, Judea. And he is giving a testimony. Now, that's why Israel is not a nation. No, it's the times of the Gentiles. Now, God, when Israel, Babylon, eliminated the last two tribes in Jerusalem. There's no more tribes, no more temple, no more city in Jerusalem. No more. The Jews are done. But they're not done, but they're done. What's the time of Gentiles? Aha. You know, to raise the Gentiles up. I am. I'm going to let them exist. And they're going to rise. Babylon, Media, Persia, all the way down the line to where we are today. And the Gentiles exist. Ah, they do. They do. Now, God, now you're doing all of that. And you're going to reach Israel. I am. But in the meantime, I want you to know, I'm going to be very merciful. I have a wonderful plan. I didn't create just Jews. I created Gentiles. I created humans. I died for them. That's my message. And Genesis, Revelation 20, at the great white throne judgment, I'm going to judge them all. But in the meantime, chapter 11, God help us. Therefore, chapter 11, if I can, verse 31. Therefore, Therefore, have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy? For God hath not concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So God, Jew and Gentile, the Jews are put aside, but don't get all high and mighty, because the Gentiles, God, you want to reach what? All of them. That was the whole purpose of Israel, to be a testimony to the nations. And instead of being a positive one, it's a negative one. But boy, it's a negative one. And no one's going to argue the fact that the key nation are causing national, international problems is Israel. If we could just get rid of Israel, Muslim world, etc., and it would be whatever. Now, so here we are, verse 33. Have mercy upon us. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And who hath known the mind of the Lord? And who hath been his counselor? No one. Or who first given to him? And it shall be recompensed, paid back unto him again. No one. There's no one giving, taking, advising. God is God alone and singular. Therefore, verse 36, for of him, he's the source. And through him, everything that's going to happen in all of human history and eternity, he's the one. He's the source of it. He's the creator. And through him, and all of it's going to work out by him, and to him, he's the objective end. When it's all gone, 1 Corinthians 14, that God might be, 1 15, I should say, chapter 15, God is going to be all in all. So God, you're going to be, you're at the beginning, you're in the middle, and you're at the end. That's right. And I want you to know, I'm being merciful to all human beings, Jew and Gentile. I give them all opportunity. I took the Gentiles and raised them up, and they did what? They went after Israel, and the Antichrist coming up is going to go vehemently after Israel. But Israel, that's what has to be, because Israel's going to repent. It's going to take the 7 years of tribulation before they repent. And they will repent. Not all of them, but many of them. And I'm going to save the nation in one 24-hour day. I'm going to save them. I'm going to make them a nation in one day. I'm going to do that. Wow. And then they're going to be a testimony for 1,000 years to all the nations. That's right. Now, in the process, God, here we are. Here we are. Now, God, we aren't Jews. Could be. We aren't Gentiles. No. You're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is old things have passed away, all things have become new, he's become a new creation. You are mine. You are my body. And I leave you in the world for the Jews to look at, for the Gentiles to look at. And to see what? To see me, the only testimony. I'm crucified, the only sign I'm going to give you, all these things, the only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights. I'm going to give him my resurrected life. Where are you going to show your resurrected life? Well, you only showed it to your own, and then you went up. That's right. Because I'm now going to show it in the whosoever that believes, and they become new creatures. They belong in the body of Christ. They are unique, and they are in the world. And by the way, the Jews are sent. I don't mean to move that fast. The Jews are sent to Babylon. Why is it good and not? It's terrible to stay in the land. You're going to get judged. Go to Babylon. Get God's word, get to Babylon. Get there. That's going to happen for good. Why is it going to be good? Because Israel, it drops all idolatry in Babylon. Babylon is the home of idolatry. And the Jews walk out of Ezra, Nehemiah, they walk out of Jerusalem and they aren't idolatrous. They aren't idolatrous. Not only that, as they walk out, as they leave, they understand what it is to be a nation. And we don't have time to do it, but if you took time to Jeremiah chapter 29 and that, over we'll close with that. Why not? Over to Jeremiah and chapter 29. Remember the for good. We've got the good part. I want you to go. It's for your good. Now why? Because you're going to quit idolatry. You would never quit idolatry where you are. I'm going to put you in the center of idolatry. God, what are you going to do with us believers? I'm going to leave you in the center of the world. Jews hate you. Gentiles hate you. I leave you there as a testimony. Israel is going to be a testimony to the nations. As they are little Jews out there, they're going to be there, and God is going to leave them there as a message that God isn't finished with the Jews. That's why you can find them. God isn't finished with the Jews because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has a wonderful plan and purpose from the beginning for the Jewish nation to be the nation, to be the testimony to all nations. And Israel is going to be that. In the meanwhile, Israel, they reject Christ. They reject the church. The church represents whom? Churches may not, but the church, his body, represents the person of Jesus Christ. That's what it's supposed to do, his body. When you see them, you should have a witness of Jesus Christ, God in you, the wonderful one who saved you. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you're saved. Wow, to be saved. Now, so here's all the Jews looking, and the Gentiles, and John 15:18-19. The world is going to hate you, but I'm leaving you in the world. So God, here's the Jews in the world, and the world's looking at the Jews, and they can't forget the Jews. And God has a wonderful plan, if anyone would pay attention, in the world. And God, in the meanwhile, here's the church, two Jews and Gentiles, doing what? Telling them the Lord Jesus Christ has a wonderful plan for the Jews and for all the nations, ultimately, for every human being. And what are we doing? We aren't Jews, we aren't Gentiles. No, we're the body of Christ. We're believers. We're new creatures in Christ, a new creation, in a most wonderful way. And so God, here we are looking, and God, chapter 29, I didn't mean to do that quickly. Chapter 29, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years to be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. They're going to come back after 70 years. And I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an acceptable expected end. Now the people that stay in Jerusalem not hearing this, they don't even know this. They're going to be judged and devastated. But, verse 12, then shall you call upon me and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. What do we read in Jeremiah chapter 24? We're going to put them in the land of Babylon so that they will find me. I want their heart. In the land, they're never going to get it. No, I'm going to put them in the place that's horrible. Horrible place. Into the world of idolatry. And there, a remnant will wake up. And I will save them in a most wonderful way. I have a wonderful plan. And you and I are part of it. And we have, here's the bad figs and the good figs. And they're there. Oh, they're there. But God, we're part of this movement that's outworking itself. And God, that's why Israel, that's why it's Babylon. It's a good thing, Babylon. Because out of it comes the times of the Gentiles. out of the times of the Gentiles comes the wonderful, wonderful ministry that God's going to deliver. As the Jews reject the cross, God is going to turn around and say to whosoever, whosoever would believe me, whosoever would receive me, I give to them eternal life. That's what's happening. And here we are. Here we are. Just us. Nobody's. Ah. But we're somebody's. We aren't doing anything. No, no. Don't need to. We just need to be alive and well on planet Earth and look to God with thanksgiving and thank Him for His saving grace. Wow.